You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. We're continuing our ranking of the Browns roster now, numbers 20 through 11. And we will get right into it at number 20, John Greco. Locked up last year, but he was a little bit of a disappointment after signing the big deal. Gave up 6 sacks, 5th most among guards, 10 hits, 3rd most. The team couldn't run behind him either, but 2 years ago they were much better behind him. I do think he is athletic enough to adapt to the zone blocking scheme, can get out in space. I think he can be a starter again, but while the team adds another guard to complement him on the other side.
Yeah, you know, he had a slow start last year. I thought he did, though, become a fairly steady presence. The guard position as a whole, let's face it, was one of the weaker areas, shakier areas of this football team. I thought, by and large, Greco, by the end of the year, at least gave you a modicum of, you know, of security stability there.
Absolutely.
And then at 19, Mitchell Schwartz, right tackle, he had a shaky start early, did make strides toward the end of the season, maybe did enough to keep the attention of this new coaching staff to at least say, let's see what he is. The only concern I have, though, is he is not built to be a outside, you know, zone scheme type of player. He's decent on his feet, light enough on his feet, but he's a big, big man, and I don't think he's used to doing a whole lot of blocking on the move.
No, and that'll be an interesting thing to see how he fits. I thought that he came much better in the second half of the season after giving up 9 sacks in the first 8 games, gave up 2 over the final 6, only 6 hits versus 13, and I thought he did well. He's going to have to work on his footwork. He's going to have to be a little bit more nimble to thrive in this scheme, because I don't think you can, in this particular type of scheme, bump him inside as easily as you could have in a different type of blocking scheme and more of a hat on a hat as opposed to the zone scheme, which requires movement. I'm a bigger fan of him than most, but still ranks at number 19. At number 18 for us, we've got Travis Benjamin. Why? He's a game changer in the return game. His injury was big and showed, I think, how valuable he truly was on the 3 kick returns, 48.7 yards, 11.7 on punts. Good gadget player in the offense, special teams ace, and I'd like to see him get the opportunity because if he's an injury risk, he's an injury risk. Let's get the most out of him while you can on kicks and punts. I'd like to see him be our every down returner.
Yeah, I hear that, but I do think the risk is tremendous. I think there's a reason we didn't see, and I think we found it out because he missed the entire second half of the season with that knee injury. But he was a very dangerous punt returner in the short time that he was out there. I mean, what, he ranked, I think, 15th in the league in punt return yardage for a guy who really had limited. It was on 7 returns. So he can definitely be a bigger contributor. I agree with you that, you know, let him be your full-time guy to return everything. But I think, and you probably have to go into it with the idea that you take your risks. He is a small guy, very spindly-legged player, and I think that's part of the problem with him staying healthy.
I think that's true, and I also think that Kyle Shanahan is the guy who's going to figure out a way to utilize him. He had a guy, Anthony Armstrong, in Washington, who was kind of a one-trick pony speed type of a guy and was able to get him very involved in that offense in certain situations, and hopefully the same can be true for Benjamin.
Johnson Batamosi at number 17, the defensive back who for the second season in a row led the Browns with special teams tackles at 17. He is widely regarded, you talk with scouts, coaches around the NFL, as the best punt team gunner that you can have on coverage. And I think Johnson Batamosi is just one of those sort of special team MVPs that if you're able to hang on to him, you should.
That's why he's in our top 17. 16, Brian Hoyer, 2-0 as a starter last year, got the ball out about a half second faster than Campbell and Whedon, but is there enough evidence to say, and I don't even know if he should be at 16, but we needed to get a quarterback in there somewhere where it felt important, so that's why he's at 16. I still think the Browns will draft a quarterback to compete with him. Listen, if he gets the weapons and he plays well, I would love it. I think he's a smart guy. It's a great story. I just don't know how high his ceiling is just yet.
Hope he can be in the mix for that starting quarterback spot, but we'll see how that plays out. Billy Cundiff is at 15. A lot of hand-wringing when Phil Dawson, the legendary kicker, one of the best in the history of the game, was allowed to leave in free agency. Who are they going to replace him with? Well, Cundiff came through 80.8% of field goal attempts converted, 21 of 26, but his biggest impact was on touchbacks. 42, that was a Browns record, and a 67.7 touchback percentage.
Right, and if you take away a block kick, the long one against New England, really he missed a couple of kicks on the year. Only 31% of his kickoffs were even returned last year, fifth best in the league. For a team that has a lot of turnover at the bottom of the roster, a lot of undrafted free agents, I think that is very important to kind of limit those return chances. I say bring back Billy Cundiff. Number 14, Tayshawn Gibson made huge strides in his first year as a starter, exceeded expectations massively, 5 interceptions. Now, is there still room to grow? Yes, but as he gets in and he's feeling focused and now playing faster, I think he's going to continue to thrive as a guy who really, I thought, was the most improved player on the team. Keeps that going, he's going to be a starter for a long time.
Barkevious Mingo checking in at 13 for us. Raw athleticism and instincts really went a long way for this young guy. Made himself the pass rushing force, not as consistently as you'd like him to be, but certainly enough to rank second on the team with 5 sacks, and the first rookie in Browns history to register a sack in each of his first 3 games. But he really needs some skill refinement, especially in the area of pass coverage. He's definitely got to be a guy who can do more than just line up on the edge, and in this Mike Patton defense, he will be asked to do some things more toward the middle of the scheme. He's got to get bigger and stronger in this offseason.
He's got to, and he needs to live up to the hype and help this team out. Number 12, DeQuell Jackson. And I'll say this, he is there solely, in my opinion, because of locker room impact and leadership. I think that his skills, if you look at him at 30, not where they were when he was a younger man. He struggled in coverage, struggled a little bit against the run, but I'd like to keep him around at a pay cut, a reasonable price, so that he can help teach the young guys who are coming in to play inside linebacker. But I think getting some inside linebackers with speed and a coverage linebacker, one of the top priorities for this team in the offseason.
Yeah, without doubt, that is so true. And DeQuell, I mean, just reliable. He's around the ball. Didn't have the best coverage, but that was true with a lot of guys on defense. And then finally for this segment, Paul Kruger. He'll check in at number 11. Gave the Browns really, for a team that had so much invested in him to the tune of $40 million in free agency, he turns around and delivers 4.5 sacks. That is a disappointment. They've got to get better from him. I think it's incumbent on the Browns coaching staff to find a way to get Paul Kruger more involved. And I think a big part of it is just for him to become more aggressive off the line of scrimmage. This guy kind of plays a sleeperish role when you watch him. He sort of tries to lull blockers into a false sense of security, coming in a little bit lazy. And I think it's by intent and design, as I've talked to more and more coaches about this. But when you look at him, he's a guy that I think needs to be more explosive off the ball, and that would serve him better.
I think it would. And, you know, you talked about the coach said, well, it didn't show up in the sacks. Well, pass rushing productivity takes into account all of the harassments of the quarterback. He was at 12.2 in 2012, first among all outside linebackers, fell to 22nd last year at 9.4. I think if anybody can maximize his talents, it is Mike Patton and company. They need to do that. Big bounce back candidate, and hopefully he comes through.
All right. Well, we are going to get into the Miami Dolphins mess. That's about the only way we can describe it, with Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, and our friend from the Miami Herald. He is Armando Salguero, who knows a whole lot about that football team, has covered the Dolphins for many, many years, is going to join us next to break down what it means not only to the Dolphins, changes coming up, but also for the rest of the National Football League, the Browns included. That is all ahead on CBD, ESPN 850, WKNR.